Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Comic Book Nation's The Pull List, where we talk all things comics all the time. I am Matt Aguilar, and with me is the reunion of the original duo, Kofi Outlaw. What's up, buddy?
What's up, bud?
This is like takes me back to like this is like origins of this show. This is craziness.
Yeah, I mean, it's how it started out. Just comic
books. But I love talking comics with you, and we got a ton. Literally, it feels like every comic release this week. We are not going to be able to cover them all, but we are going to do our damnedest. Let's start with one that actually we at comicbook.com had the chance to announce when it first hit. Helen of Windhorn. This is the reunion of the Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow team of King and Evely. And I've been very excited for this. This is right in the sweet, like right in my wheelhouse. This is kind of a mystery set. There's a big kind of central mystery of the supernatural. But then there's also just kind of this core story that we've seen King nail so well, this kind of, very charismatic, but very, almost just doesn't care about what other people think type of character. And we see the various contrasts and personality with the supporting cast. And in this case, it's Helen, right? And we're very much telling a story that happened in the past. So we're doing the multiple timelines thing, but here it's only really like one timeline. It's the present and the past, and it's really just from someone telling the story. So, you know, there's not, you know, three different timelines that you really have to keep track of. And even the one that you do need to keep track of is more of a narration thing. It's not, you know, having to necessarily pay attention to things happening there to understand what's happening in the past. So I thought this was a little bit of a, honestly, if someone was jumping into a King style story for the first time, I actually think this is probably like one of the easier ones to really just jump into because you're not having to keep track of so many things. And I was really taken by the central narrative. Like by the end of this, I wanted to read issue number 2, and I wanted to read that like now, especially with where like the last like 3 pages end. How do you feel about this? You know, I know we're big King supporters, you know, on the show, but you know, we don't necessarily love every single thing. So how did you feel about this particular book?
I think that, you know, we talk about first issues so much and on the pull list and the importance and the execution of a first issue. And I feel like there's a lot of this that I'm sure people are going to compare between Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow's first issue and this first issue, because essentially they are the same in framework. It's somebody who's been through some kind of adventure with this central kind of folklore character, in this case, Helen, in that case, Supergirl, telling the story of how they first encountered this person. And in both, they're young ladies who are in a state of drunken kind of revelry or debauchery at the time that we meet them. And we know that those states are there because of complicated circumstances from their past. And in Supergirl's case, we know why, but in Helen's case, we do not. So there is that mystery element of it, and the larger mystery of Windhorn and this house and everything. So this is a talkie for sure. This is a, I mean, more show. If you thought like Rorschach, like Tom King's Rorschach in that first issue was a talkie, you ain't seen nothing yet. Like there is, and it's a very, but it's also acceptable because it's in the framework of like folklore or fairy tale, which has a lot of talkie exposition. Like every fairy tale has an introduction where it's like, you know, once upon a time and then so on and so forth. And there's a narrator. So that's not too, it's not too out of place in this kind of comic. The key is by the end and all this talking, do we get to something that hooks you? And, you know, I was almost begrudgingly like, you got me at the end, because they do enough with the kind of reveals and the ultimate twist that is really kind of kick off this series and tell you like, yeah, this isn't going to just be us following a governess and in her troublesome ward around a big house this whole time. Like things are going to get comic booky in this. So that was a hook that got me by the end. But Tom King, I mean, Tom King has been walking some fine line with taking risks on first issues lately. That Wonder Woman one, we had a very spirited debate around these parts at the comic book offices about that first issue of Wonder Woman and, you know, keeping Wonder Woman out of it essentially for a lot of it. And so, you know, it's good to take big swings and try to do kind of different things with it. And this was another big swing. I think what it does more than anything else is it kind of sells you on Helen. There are going to be a lot of people who I think instantly just kind of gravitate towards this character and her disposition and her attitude towards the world and the people around her. And, you know, there are some other breakout characters. Who's the butler's name? Is his name James or something? Like, I forget.
The butler's great.
Already. The biggest mystery to me is the narrator and the governess. And is this a reliable narrator? Who is she? Where does she come from? There's not a lot we get about that. And I feel like that could be another good twist. So already we get the characters in this, but it's going to be interesting to see what the lore is and what the artwork that goes along with that lore looks like, and will it turn out as iconic as Supergirl has become. So that was Alien Worlds, and this is more like kind of a twist on fantasy folklore, so I'm kind of interested to see. You got my interest.
My God, like, this book is just beautiful, though. Like, I love the estate, like, you know, Windhorn, like, is just, there's a shot when they first get there that is just, my God, like, that needs to be, I want to see that brought to life in a movie or something. Like, that is just stunning, and there's all kinds of those types of pages throughout this book. Like, this team, you know, knows how to create something.
Oh yeah. There's a spectacular sitting room. There's one that is like, oh, this isn't the more luxurious one, but I thought you would like it. And I'm looking at this room like, damn, I need that room. Like, they got the fan pillows and the cushions, and it's just the way it's organized. I was like, man, like, yeah, there's so much detail, and just the house becomes a character instantly in this, and just like,
right,
all of the rooms and the sketches. And like, shout out to I always mispronounce the artist's name. What is it?
Bilkis Evely is how Bilkis. I've always said it.
Okay, well, shout out to Bilkis, because like the level of detail and just having to replicate this in future scenes and stuff is that's commitment. But the house becomes a definite character in this, and it's funny that I get so invested in the house before we literally get the tease of a whole new world by the end of this. And so, like, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see where this goes.
Now Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Yeah, I was very much taken. This is and especially I laughed throughout the whole thing because like there's this running thing of Helen and like being in different rooms, like always disappearing, and then they have to find her, and then like when they find her, she's curled up in some spot, always with like you know a bottle of liquor, a bottle of wine, or whatever.
One of my favorite things is like they're like. Because it's an interviewer in present day talking to the governess. And he's like, well, you know, what didn't you? She's like, yes, we locked it. But she had stolen a bunch of them and hidden them around the house by the time like we figured out to lock the door. She had already had like stashes around the house because that's something I've done before. And I respect that, you know, good job.
I love it. So, yeah, I was definitely taken with this. And by the end, when we get to and obviously no spoilers here, this just came out. But I would love to do like maybe when issue 2 comes out, refer back to some of the things that happened here, especially towards the end, because I really think it does a good job of hooking you for next time. Let's move to another first issue. And this was not a book I actually planned on talking about, but because I'm actually not the biggest ghostwriter person. Never really happened. Always dug the design and stuff, but just never like been the biggest fan. But Ghostwriter Final Vengeance came out, and Benjamin Percy has been doing amazing things. If you've been checking out X-Force and Wolverine and so it was enough for me to kind of, okay, I'm going to jump in. Let's see what, you know, he can kind of bring to this character that's never really connected with me. And I got to say, wow, what a first issue. And obviously Marvel has been, this isn't a spoiler because Marvel announced this to everyone weeks ago, that the new Ghost Rider would be the Hood. And so it was like a big PR rollout and stuff, right? I honestly forgot that was happening.
It missed me, so I was surprised.
So by the end, I was like, oh, like that's right. He's gonna be Ghost Rider. But here's the thing, they did such a good job of the way the Ghost Rider is actually used, and in this case, the spirit of vengeance itself, right? Like the way it's used and moved from person to person, and like, number one, you had me the first story they do when essentially like Johnny Blaze is split. And this happens in the very opening pages. So this isn't, I don't feel like this is very light spoilers, right? The opening pages, he's kind of split from Johnny Blaze. And so you're like, okay, well, where's this spirit going to go? And it keeps moving from person to person. And there's the first story. And it's essentially like the first chance that this, you know, the spirit has to take over someone. And it's a story involving kids. And it was like that, you know, they like this kind of story was just like the perfect sort of story to get me as a reader invested in the premise, but also just like being able to bring a human element to it that I could relate to. And also someone that, you know, in this case, a person that I despised. And so for that person to be the first kind of victim of this was, you know, it like set the table really well. And then they just kind of keep moving from very surprising person to person. Cause there was one, especially I did not see coming, that, you know, the intersection of the mutant world and Ghost Rider, that I did not see coming. And I thought that was really interesting too. Like they play around with some really great concepts, and then we finally land where it's going to land. But I was hooked throughout this entire thing. And I'm also hooked on the central mystery of like, well, what the hell is happening over here with the dude? You just like, just left. He just kicked to the curb. Like I'm intrigued on several different levels here. And that is not something I can say about Ghost Rider for like quite some time. I was surprised by how much I love this book. I don't know where you come from as far as like a Ghost Rider fan, Kofi, but what did you think of this?
I'm a 90s kid. So like I was there for the Midnight Suns coming together, and Dan Ketch was my Ghost Rider. And, you know, I came into the part where he got like horribly injured by a blackout and had to be Ghost Rider and that whole arc. So I came in there and I was into Ghost Rider because I love horror and I love comics, and horror comics and supernatural themed heroes are in my wheelhouse. I fell off after a while because I just felt like Ghost Rider became kind of kitschy and kind of one of the weaker characters that was kind of being written out there. But the last year or so, it's kind of been slowly changing that. And people have been, Jim Viscardi's not here, but he's been singing the praises of Ghost Rider for the last year. And I was kind of like, you know, I didn't want to believe, because there's never been, I think the last time I got excited was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., ironically, with that, you know, seeing that version of Ghost Rider put on the screen for the first time and how they used him in that show. But yeah, it was, again, Benjamin Percy, I feel like, is a 90s comic kid who just wanted to do cool things with 90s characters, because his stuff still feels very much in the vein of a 90s comic, but in a good way, like in a entertaining and like, this is fun stuff to do with comic books that I would talk about at the lunch table with my friends. And he always finds kind of new angles to come at this familiar lore with. Like, I don't think I've ever been more interested in hearing from the actual Ghost Rider entity into, you talk about like risky first issues, to just take a whole book and give it not actual Ghost Rider, just give it to the entity, just being like, man, it's hard out here for a pimp, for a vengeance pimp trying to find a host, like, and just seeing all the ways they do that, just trying to get in. Oh, you don't think I could work that in, man? I could work that in.
I did not see that coming. Talk about things that I didn't anticipate. Okay.
But it was really interesting, and it did the job of making you care about the larger lore of Ghost Rider and who this entity is. And already it's already going to be fun on like a Venom level, because I feel like there's going to be more interesting interplay between the entity and the host and like what that means and like how that can happen. And we've already established that this guy will drop you and go to somewhere else. And so what that relationship is between, by the end of the first issue, just saying, oh, the hood, like you're going to get the hood. And like, how does the hood react to that? And like, where is the line between, you know, righteous justice and whatever the hood might have in mind for power like this? Is it's already interesting questions that I, like I said, like it's 90s style, like make me want to go to the lunch table and be already arguing over this with my friends about the what ifs about what's coming. And that's what Benjamin Percy does so well. So yeah, I really, it's more interesting than it had any right to be. I feel like I got really begrudgingly into both these comics this week.
Hey, I'm with you. I didn't see this happening for me, but I will say Percy's work on those other characters has, you know, I will also say, like, before, you know, he took over Wolverine, I was kind of like, I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, I'm good on Wolverine stuff. I mean, I've seen so many Wolverine stories. Like, it's not that I begrudge them. It's just that, like, I'm good, you know? And he's definitely turned me around. You know, his X-Force stuff has also been great. So I just thought it's a great fit. You know, art-wise, I was taken throughout the entire issue as well. I thought they did some interesting things. And I am actually excited about the new host. So I will see. I might have to stick with this, but I saw in the comments, which version of Ghost Rider do you like the most? My favorite has been Robbie. Number one, just the backstory of him and his brother. That always grounded me more with the character as opposed to some of the kind of lone wolf characters, of other hosts. And I dig the car. It's not going to lie. The car's dope. So, Kofi, do you have a favorite? Who's your favorite?
Like, as I said, and shout out to all our fans across the world, including Russia, you know, what's up to the other side of the world. We love you guys. Welcome to Comic Book Nation. I'm a Dan Ketch kid just because that's where I got in. I know for many, he's the weakest Ghost Rider. Many people either choose Robbie or Johnny. It's for me, it was Dan, because Dan was kind of like in the 90s. We were still that Gen X, the tail end of that Gen X kind of thing. And he was very much a Gen X kid. Like, he ain't always doing things right. His life is a mess. Like, you know, he's got people, horrible traumatic things happen to him. People he loved get murdered, like, horribly. Like, you know, he had to go through some fridging exercises. Like, and so Dan Ketch, and he had that cool bike for the 90s, right? Like, yeah, he had a crazy cool 90s bike. Chopper that looks so dumb now, but, like, it was so great in the 90s.
And yeah, he just but had half the things in the 90s look dumb now, and they still work.
Yeah. Great. But he had that like Gen X goth swag with the leather jacket and the chain and just like it wasn't 70s kind of stuff like Johnny Blaze. It was that more post Batman 89 hard edged, like darker black 90s stuff. And so I just grew up with him and I liked him and I liked all the Midnight Sun stuff and the series. And I loved him and Johnny together. Having two Ghost Riders together was an interesting dynamic. That I thought, because Johnny at that point was like a loner and a weirdo and Dan had like a family. And so it was just interesting. But after that, Robbie Reyes. Yeah. Like, yeah, he was, that whole thing was kind of cool.
And thank you, Andrew and Robert for the shout out. We always appreciate you guys hopping on. We love talking comics with you. Let's move into a couple more, cause we got a lot to hit. So, Kofi, I know you read, Dead X-Men number 3, but also some other books. What can you jump in for those?
Well, Dead, I mean, keeping on two things, the X-Men beat. Yeah, I read Dead X-Men number 3. Dead X-Men is kind of wearing out its welcome for me, like a little bit. Like, I feel like every issue now has become, a lot of it is just stop and talk about plan, jump to another one of Moira's lives that were like, oh, yes, remember that from Powers of 10. And they just keep doing this in every issue. And we're quickly losing the plot here. Like, what are they achieving? We're supposed to be taking a mental scan of Moira. We've done that. Now we're trying to get back. It seems pretty obvious where we're headed. Like, everything is pretty obvious for the reader. Like, we're trying to wrap up this Krakoa thing by erasing all of this Moira mess. So, like, that's basically what we got to do. All the other books are telling us that. This book is now just coming to that conclusion and setting it up for, like, the final race against the clock to get back to the nexus point that everybody wants to reach to maybe erase this whole Krakoa era and all the mess that came with it. And so I think more than anything, I like this team of X-Men still. It's interesting to see these kind of random people put together for this different purpose. And this issue highlights why a little bit more, but this needs to kind of wrap up a little bit. And I hope this is limited because it does need to wrap. We're just literally going in circles, literally and figuratively in circles. And I also read Wolverine to continue the Sabretooth War to keep with Benjamin Percy. And again, this thing feels like straight, like I said, straight out of the 90s in terms of its comic bookishness, including bringing back the 90s Creed outfit, like, you know, the.
Yeah.
The
shirt,
yeah. And doing all that. But he makes it fun. And like, he just takes, he's not afraid of any of these concepts and he can pull lore from way back on Wolverine and Sabretooth's history, even the most iconic go-to stuff, and still fit it into this new kind of weird reality in fun ways. And Sabretooth War has been one of the more fun Wolverine versus Sabretooth stories I've read in a long time.
Awesome. And then you read Alien, right?
Yeah. Alien Black, White, and Blood has been doing this kind of thing where they're actually continuing stories from the first one. And all I'll say is I always think these black, white, and whatever, you know, red, blood, whatever they do are kind of hit and miss. But it really does work for the Alien franchise for that kind of horror comic aesthetic, and Xenomorphs already being kind of, you know, obviously black colored already takes care of a lot of that. And so it's something you should be checking out. Also, I will just shout out Spider-Gwen Smash. There's a whole new Carnage in that. Check that out as well, because there's some fun symbiote stuff happening over in that direction. So that's everything I read.
Nice. Yeah. And I agree with you. I think it really just depends. Like, the aesthetic worked for Moon Knight because he's already like mainly white costume. So when you get the red in there, it really makes it pop. And yeah, it really depends on who you've got in there. For me, I read Batman Dylan Dog, which is I was not familiar with Dylan Dog because it's a kind of stems from an Italian creative team and an Italian kind of paranormal investigator. And so this is the first time that these two worlds are colliding. But what I thought it did really well actually was that it keeps the tone of Dylan's other adventures. So I had to kind of go and do some research on like, okay, who is this character? What is this world? And it's set in London, right? But it very much makes it feel like it does the thing where this world already exists within the grander DC kind of scope. And so it's just like, they know of Batman, but it's like, oh, that's a myth. Like that, you know, it's kind of that type of thing. Like, we've never seen the person. It's just a thing you hear about over in that crazy place called Gotham. And so when they actually meet, it's interesting because they don't have to kind of, oh, like there's some portal that opens and they got to cross into the world. Like, it's just very much like, oh, cool. But these things already exist. And this book is beautiful. I love, there's a trio of artists that bring this book together. And it's a long one, by the way, but it was real. It kept me riveted throughout. And Dylan is such a interesting character that I really liked seeing the contrast between how he approaches this and someone like Batman. And they work all the villains in, you know, again, I was unfamiliar with like Dylan's rogues and things like that. But that's also what kind of made it fresh for me, because I've read a lot of Batman. I've read a lot of Batman already in 2024, and we're only in March. There's so much Batman out there. So like, to make that interesting and freshen that up, this was cool for me. I liked seeing that the issue leaned more heavily into Dylan's side of things as opposed to Batman's. But again, for those who are looking for that, Joker's still in here. Like, they hit all the big notes. So I really dug this. And another one, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, The Return. This is the original team return written by Matt Hodson and Amy Jo Johnson. And this one takes, you know, one of the things I talked about in the first issue was that it took some big swings. And this one takes even more. Like, they're not afraid to really, you know, do some things that would not have been done in the original show, right? We're talking, and again, not trying to get into spoilers, a couple of these kind of hinge on big spoilers, but there's about three twists in here, and I feel like two of them will be ones that will hit with people. Like, one might you probably see coming from super early on, but the other two, I think, like, they do a good job of making those have impact, setting things up for the future. This book plays with legacy in a lot of ways, and really interesting ways. So I'm really enjoying this so far and what they're doing. And then Green Lantern number 9, this is one that has been building since actually the first issue of this new series. And this one provides a lot of answers. All the answers for why, where is Hal's new ring from? Why is it, where does it get power from, all those things of why 2814 is such an important sector and what that means for the other lanterns there. And just, you know, like, there's a lot of answers that are provided here. And then also it does a good job of setting up the next kind of big arc for Hal and the core overall. And the way this ends, as a Green Lantern fan, but also just as a fan of certain lanterns, I am so hyped for what comes next. So I'm very, very high on this. And then really quick, Napalm Lullaby. is the new book from Remender and Bengal. I feel like I'm saying that right. I hope I'm saying that right. This is a trippy book, but I mean, I was interested from beginning to end. This is a really weird book. There's a lot of interesting concepts at play, but I don't actually know what to think of this. But what I do know is I will be reading the second issue because I just kind of need to see where this goes. It's a really unique world. The characters so far are, you know, there's like a heist that's happening, but like the heist goes wrong in a lot of ways. But then it's playing with your perception of it. So it's just. There's a lot of interesting concepts here. I don't exactly know what to make of it, but I do know that I will be following along. And then last but not least, Thundercats number 2 came out, and they're doing some, you know, with an IP like Thundercats, like we've seen a couple different iterations in the comics before. But this one is trying to really hone in on like the concept of Lino going from a cub to the leader of the last, you know, surviving like group portion of his people essentially overnight. And it's really diving into that concept and what that would be and what kind of conflict that breeds in the person as well as the group of these people that, you know, all of a sudden their leader was a kid that they were supposed to be taking care of, and now he's their leader and they have to answer to him. And can he handle this? And then things go horribly wrong at the beginning in the first issue of like the sword breaks and all these other things. So like there's that, it's that clash that's at the center of this. And so that part's really interesting. I'm a sucker for Thundercats anyway, but I just think that if you're going to mine something, I think that's an interesting thing to mine. Real quick before we leave, cause I know we got a bolt here. And thank you, Trevor Guy, for watching the show live. Appreciate it. There's a couple graphic novels and trades that are hitting, ones that we've talked about on the show before, so definitely want to mention them. Kofi, there was one that was hitting for a One Piece that I didn't know if that's something that should fans check that out. I didn't know much about that, but I am a big One Piece fan now.
Oh, yeah.
One Piece Ace's story.
Yeah, check out our Anime Initiative segment for all the fine details and comic book anime, but all things One Piece, I would say, yeah, jump into it, especially if you've been catching a live action show. Get into that.
Yeah, this one's a prequel. I gotta say, I've been that I never thought I'd be jumping into more than just the anime because there's just so much of it. But I am definitely a fan now. Also, Moon Knight, the last volume of the previous series is now collected in trade. You know, certain someone we might be featured on the front. I don't know. I mean, that if it happens, it's there. Oh wait, it is there. That's pretty cool. All right, I'm just giving myself a little pat on the back. But it was a great series, a great run. And The Last Days of Moon Knight is now in trade. Also, Batman Volume 1, Failsafe, a book we talked about the Batman run. We still talk about the Batman run. That first volume is now in trade as well. And then X-Men Red. That latest we don't get to talk as much X-Men because there's just a lot going on in X-Men world, but X-Men Red has been a consistent standout over time. And then one more, Catfight, that is a delightful heist comic about a thief and learning about his legacy and stuff like that. It was really fun. That is now all collected in trade as well. All right, so I think we've done as much as we can. We got to get out of here. Thank you so much to everyone who jumps into this with us, whether you listen on the audio side or you watch us live on YouTube. We appreciate it. Can't wait to talk about more comics next week. Until then, peace and deuces.